Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Gimel. After discussing general principles of the Isur Melacha of Shabbat in the last two prakim, and before moving on to the details of the Melachot themselves, the Rambam spends the next few prakim on Halachot related to Erev Shabbat. The topic of this perek is Melacha which begins before Shabbat and continues into Shabbat. This will lead to a discussion of the very practical topics of Shehiyah and Hachzara, the rabbinic prohibitions against leaving food to cook from Friday into Shabbat and returning cooked food into an oven or onto a flame on Shabbat, the details of which we will learn in this perek. Halacha Aleph, Mutar la'tchil b'melacha me'erev Shabbat, afa pi shinigmeret me'eleha b'Shabbat, shelo ne'asar aleinu ela la'asot melacha b'atzmo shel yom, aval sh'teyaseh melacha me'atzma b'Shabbat, mutar, u'mutar lanu le'hanot u'ma she'nasa b'Shabbat me'elav. It is permitted to do melacha on Erev Shabbat, even if this initiates an extended action of melacha which continues on its own into Shabbat itself. Halacha Bet is a list of several examples of this, letting water into a garden before Shabbat, which continues to irrigate the garden, part of the melacha of Zorea, planting, throughout Shabbat. Mixing dye before Shabbat and letting it soak and absorb the color throughout Shabbat. Placing olives under the heavy weight of an olive press and letting the oil flow out of them throughout Shabbat. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam gets to an example which requires further discussion because of an Isser Durabanan associated with it. Manichin kdeira al gabei ha'esh o basar batanur o al gabei ha'gechalim, vehein mitbashlin v'holchin kol ha'shabbat v'ochlin otan b'shabbat. V'yesh b'davar ze drachim shein asurin, gzeira shema yechte b'gechalim b'shabbat. Midoraita, it should be permissible to put uncooked food on the flame before Shabbat and leave it to cook, just like the examples in the last halach. But here Chazal intervened and introduced an Isur Durabanan, based on a concern that someone who does this will stoke the coals on Shabbat, Shema Yichate Bagchalim, in order to hasten or improve the cooking, which would be considered an act of bishul on Shabbat itself. Halacha Dalet, Ketzad, Tavshil shelo bashal kol tzorko, v'chamin shelo v'chmu kol tzorkan, o tavshil shebashal kol tzorko, v'chol zman shemitzdamek hu yafelo, ein meshahin oto al gabei ha'ish b'shabbat. Af al pi shunach mi'ba'od yom, gzera shemayechte b'agchalim, kedei lehashlim bishulo o kedei lezamko. Lefichach im garaf ha'ish, o shekisa ha'ish akira ba'efer, o v'no'or tapishtan hadaka, או שעממו הגחלים שהרי הן כמחוסות באפר, או שיסיקו בקש או בגבבה, או בגלי בימה דקה שהרי אין שם גחלים ברות, הרי זה מותר לשעות עליה, שהרי הסיח דעתו מזה התבשיל, ואין גוזרין שמה יחתה באש. Specifically, any food or liquid which is not fully cooked or boiled, and even a cooked food, which improves as it continues to be heated, mitztamek v'yafelo, may not be left on a flame when Shabbat begins, because of a concern that someone will stoke the coals under the flame. There are two ways in which this concern can be avoided, and to allow food to be left on the flame before Shabbat. If the burning coals are removed entirely, this is called garuf, leaving behind the ashes and burned out coals, which still provide considerable heat. Or if the coals are covered with some kind of material which weakens the flame. This is called katum. In both cases, stoking the coals will do no good, because the flame will not become stronger as a result, and hence there is no concern of shema yichate b'agchalim. We note that whereas the Rambam seems to consider katum, covering the flame, as a form of weakening it, as we explained, other Rishonim see it as a way of reminding anyone who would think to stoke the coals that today is Shabbat, and therefore he should avoid doing so. In this understanding, the covering does not need to weaken the flame at all, and this is very relevant halacha lemaaseh, as we'll see shortly. Halacha hei, v'me dvarim amurim, b'chira, shehevla mu'at, aval b'tanur, afa p'shegaraf ha'esh, o kipa b'efer, o shisiku b'kash o b'gvava, ein meshahin b'tocho velo al gabav. ולא סומכין לו תבשיל שלא בשל כל צורכו, או שבשל כל צורכו הוא מצטמק ביפלו. הועיל והבלו חם ביותר, אינו מסיח דעתו, וחוששין שמה יחתה בזו האש המעוטה, אף על פי שהיא אש קש וגבבה או מחוסה. The Rambam here distinguishes between two cooking mechanisms, a kira and a tanur, which can be roughly translated as stove and oven. In both, the heat comes from coals and ashes which lie below. In a kira, food is cooked by placing it directly above the upper surface of the kira, as is done today with a gas or electric burner. In a tanur, in contrast, the food is placed inside the cavity of the tanur, where the heat is considerably greater. Furthermore, the tanur is constructed in a way which maximizes heat retention, and therefore even food placed on top of it rather than inside it is heated significantly more than food placed on a kira. The Rambam clarifies that the dispensations of garuf and katum from the last halacha apply only to a kira, where the heat is relatively low. In a tanur, neither of these help, not for food placed inside it, nor even for food placed on top of it. Why? As he explains at the end and elaborates in Halacha Vav, the heat of a tanur is so intense that even stoking the coals of a covered flame will contribute to the cooking. And even in the case of garuf, where the burning coals are removed altogether, it is impossible to remove every last lit coal. And again, because of the intense heat of a tanur, even stoking the small amount that remains will make a difference. Hence, the concern of Shema Yichateh Bag Chalim remains relevant even when the tanur is garuf or katum. Furthermore, one may not even be somech food to a tanur, that is, he may not place the food next to the tanur to heat up the food from its outside surface. And for this too, it doesn't help if the tanur is garuf or katum. At the end of Halacha Zayin, we learn that the opposite is true of akira, that is, one may be somech food on the outside of akira, even if it is neither garuf nor katum. The reason for this is that even stoking the coals beneath a kira will only help to heat food placed directly above it, not food placed next to it. For the tanur, with its intense heat, this is not the case. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam discusses an object which lies between a tanur and a kira, and that is a kupach. Structurally, this resembles a kira, in that food is heated above it and not inside it. But whereas a kira has room for two pots above it, the kupach only has room for one. This means that the kupach has a smaller cavity in which the concentrated heat can be greater than inside the larger kira, but is not as intense as the heat of the tanur. Therefore, the status of the kupach depends on the material used to produce the flame inside it. If the material is gefet ve'itzim, olive residue or wood which produce a stronger flame, then the kupach has the status of a tanur, and the Isser of Shehiyah applies even in a situation of garuf katum. But if the material is kash ugvava, straw and twigs, then the flame is not as substantial, and the kupach has the status of a kira. The Rambam had said in Halacha Dalet that when the flame in a kira is made from kash ugvava, it's considered very weak, and there's no concern of shema yichateh bag chalim, and therefore there's no need for further garuf katum. And so too in a kupach, if the flame is made from kash ugvava, there is no problem of shehiyah, even without garuf or katum. We pause for a moment to address how these halachot are applied in the modern kitchen. First, we note that while the Rambam accepts the more stringent opinion in the Gemara, that shehiyah is problematic even for fully cooked food which improves with heat, mitzdamek v'afelo, other Rishonim accept the more lenient view, that once food is cooked to the level called ma'achal ben drusai, which is either halfway or one-third of the way to being fully cooked, there is no longer an issur of shehiyah. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, and the Ramah accepts the more lenient view. If someone wishes to leave food to cook into Shabbat on a stovetop burner, how does he make the flame garuf or katum? Garuf is not really possible as we don't use coals. So the accepted custom is to cover the flame with a metal sheet, called in Yiddish a blech, in order to make it katum. As we mentioned, many understand that the reason for covering the flame is to serve as a reminder not to adjust the flame on Shabbat, and therefore many poskim require the stovetop controls to be covered as well. Nowadays, many have the custom to heat food on an electric hot plate, or plata in Hebrew, which heats up when plugged in and has no controls at all. Most poskim consider this to be automatically garuf katum, without a need for further covering. There is further discussion whether the modern-day oven is the equivalent of the ancient tanur, or more similar to the kira, but we'll leave the details for another occasion. Halacha Chet. Tavshil chai shelo bashal klal, osha bashal kol sorkovin tzamek viralo, mutar l'shahoto al gabei ha'esh, ben b'chira v'chupach ben b'tanur. V'chein tavshil shebashal v'lo bashal kol sorko, osha bashal kol sorko mitzamek v'yafelo, im yishlich l'tocho ever chai samuch l'vein ha'shmashot, nasa ha'kol ketavshil chai, umutar l'shahoto al ha'esh. אף על פי שלא גרף ולא כיסה, מפני שכבר השיח דעתו ממנו ואינו בא לחטות בגחלים. The prohibition of shihiya, which we have been discussing, does not apply at all, not even in a tanur, to a food at one of the two extremes of cooking, something which is not cooked at all, and a food which is fully cooked and for which additional heat will only worsen it, mitztamek v'ralo. Furthermore, even if a single piece of uncooked food is placed into a pot to which the Isser of Shihiyah should apply, that is, the contents are not fully cooked or are mitztamek v'yafelo, there is no Isser of Shihiyah for the entire mixture. The reason is straightforward. There is no concern in any of these cases of shemayechet habagchalim. If the food is fully cooked and mitztamek v'ralo, then no one is interested in producing more heat, which will only cause harm. If even part of the food is completely uncooked, then the intent is clearly to let it sit and cook for a long time. In this case, the person is mesiach dat. He puts the cooking food out of his mind and is not hovering over it to see how it is cooking and whether stoking the coals will help complete the process. In Halacha Yud Bet, the Rambam clarifies that when we speak of uncooked food, we mean specifically uncooked meat or the like, which takes a long time to cook. Uncooked vegetables or beans and liquids can cook relatively quickly, and so they have the same status as a partially cooked food to which the Isra of Shihiyah most certainly applies. Halacha Tet. Kol tavshil shasur l'shahoto, im avar v'shihahoto, asur l'ochlo ad motzei Shabbat, v'yamtin b'chdei shiyasu. V'im shechacho, im tavshil shlo bashal kol tzor kohu, asur ad motzei Shabbat. V'im tavshil shebashal kol tzor kohu umitznamek v'yafelo, mutar l'ochlo b'shabbat. What if food was left on the flame before Shabbat to cook on Shabbat in a manner which violates the prohibition of Shihiyah? May it be eaten? If the violation was intentional, then the food may not be eaten until Motzei Shabbat. And even after Shabbat, the person must wait the additional time of Bichdei Shiyasu, the amount of time it would take now, after Shabbat, to do the cooking that transpired on Shabbat. The reason for this requirement of Bichdei Shiyasu, which we'll see again in Perek Vav, is to avoid the temptation to violate the Isur of Shihiyah in order to eat the food right after Shabbat. If even then he needs to wait as long as it takes to do the cooking, then he accomplishes nothing by his violation of Shihiyah. If the violation of Shihiyah was unintentional, meaning the person meant to take the food off the flame before Shabbat and forgot, then the din depends on the status of the food right before Shabbat began. If the food was fully cooked but mitztamek v'yafelo, heat improves it and therefore it was subject to the Isra of Shihiyah, then b'dieved it may be eaten on Shabbat. But if the food was not fully cooked when Shabbat began, then Chazal were machmir to consider this the equivalent of food which someone inadvertently cooked on Shabbat itself. As we'll see in Perek Vav, such food may only be eaten after Shabbat, but unlike in the case of intentional violation of Shihiyah, there is no need to wait b'chdei shiyasu. Because that additional time is meant only to prevent an intentional violation, as we explained, and in this case the Shihiyah was entirely unintentional, the food may be eaten as soon as Shabbat ends. The Ravid in Ahasaga here believes that the Rambam's leniency in the case of mitztamek v'yafelo food, which was left inadvertently on the flame, is based on an incorrect reading of the Gemara. And he understands that there is no difference between this and partially cooked food. In both cases, the food can be eaten as soon as Shabbat ends, but not on Shabbat itself. Halacha Yud. Kol shemutar l'shahoto al gabei ha'esh, kishenot linoto b'shabbat, asur lachziro limkomo. Ve'ein machzirin la'olam, ela al gabei kira grufa o ktuma, o b'chira v'chupach shusku b'kashu b'gvava. V'hu shelo hiniach hakdera al gabei karka, aval mi shehinicha, ein machzirin ota, v'afilu al gabei grufa o mechusa. Ve'ein machzirin la'tanur v'lo la'kupach shusku b'gefet o b'etzim, אף על פי שגרף או כיסה, מפני שהבלן חם ביותר. וכל שאין מחזירין עליו, אין סומכין לו בשבת. Here the Rambam addresses the prohibition of hachzara, returning food to the flame. even food for which there is no Isser of Shehia, and so may be left on the flame from before Shabbat to cook on Shabbat, may not be returned to the flame on Shabbat after it is first removed, as this is an act which resembles cooking. The only situation in which food may be returned to the flame is if two conditions are met. One, the pot was not placed on the ground. Modern poskim consider any surface, like a kitchen counter, to be the equivalent of the ground for purposes of this halacha. In this manner, we can see the return of the pot to the flame as merely a continuation of the original shehia, rather than as a new act of putting food on a flame which resembles cooking. Two, the place to which the pot is returned must be either a kira, which is grufa or ktuma, or a kira or kupach in which the flammable material is straw or twigs, which produce a weak flame. The Rama adds other conditions which must be met in order to allow hachzara. Some of these stem from concerns that one may violate the actual malacha of bishul, which we'll discuss in a later perek. I hope to return to this topic of hachzara and address some practical details of it in a later shir. Halacha Yud Aleph. Asur lachnis magrifa lakdira b'shabbat, vihi al ha'esh, v'afilu lahotzi mena davar b'shabbat, mipnei shemegisba v'ze mitzorchi ha'bishul hu, v'imsa kim vashel b'shabbat. It is forbidden on Shabbat to stir a pot, megis, which sits above a flame, as this contributes to the cooking by moving closer to the flame parts of the food which had been further away from it and not fully cooked. The Rambam extends this to sticking a large fork into the pot in order to remove food from it, as this too stirs the remaining food. The Ravid objects to this extension and limits the Isser to the direct act of stirring the pot. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir in this Isser of Megis, even when the pot is off the flame, if the food is not fully cooked, as stirring may bring some uncooked part of the food in contact with a very hot part of the food and thereby cook it. The Mishnah Berurah, though, determines that the concern of Megis exists only for a pot which is on the flame. Until now, the discussion in this perek has focused on shehiya in the act of bishul, that is, cooking food inside a pot containing water or some other liquid. In the next few halachot, the Rambam discusses shehiya in the context of roasting meat, tzli, directly from the heat of a tanur or an exposed flame, and we'll summarize the essential details. There are two situations in which one may leave meat inside a tanur from before Shabbat to continue roasting over Shabbat. The first is if the meat is of a type that stoking the coals, chitui hagechalim, would ruin it. This is true of birds or the cut-up meat of a young goat, which is lean and easily burnt, but not of the meat of an adult animal like an adult goat or ox. Even for these types of meat, though, shehiya is still permitted if the opening to the oven, where the coals are placed, is covered before Shabbat with clay or a similar material to prevent air from getting in. In this case, no one will take off the covering to stoke the coals, as he will see that clay was put there precisely to keep the tanur hermetically sealed until the roasting is finished. Even without this added clay covering, if whatever is baking in the oven is ruined by any exposure to air, then there is similarly no concern that anyone will stoke the coals. An example of this is strands of flax, which are baked in order to whiten them. These may be left in the oven just before Shabbat, because if the coals were to be soaked, the air coming in from outside would ruin the flax completely. The Rambam adds a point about the Korban Pesach, which is a full animal and must be eaten roasted. By the rules we just listed, if the first day of Pesach is Shabbat and the meat of the Korban is left to roast in an oven from before Shabbat begins, we should require a clay covering over the opening of the tanur. But this requirement is waived, because B'nei Chavura Zrizin Hein, the group eating the Korban together, as they are involved in a mitzvah, will be careful not to do anything as halachically problematic as stoking the coals under the oven while the meat is roasting inside. What about roasting meat or anything else directly above a flame rather than in a tanur? This must be roasted enough to be edible before Shabbat, at which point there is no further concern of Shemei Chetebag Chalim, because roasted food has the status of mitztamek v'ralo. Further roasting will only make the food worse, and hence no one will be interested in stoking the coals. In Halacha Yod Chet, the Rambam discusses the din of bread left to bake in a tanur before Shabbat begins, but we will skip the details because the procedure of baking bread in an ancient tanur is unfamiliar and very different from how bread is baked today. The last few halachot of the perek discuss the details of making a bonfire before Shabbat and letting it burn into Shabbat. One is permitted to do this as long as most of the wood catches fire before Shabbat. Otherwise, one may not get any benefit from the bonfire over Shabbat, as there exists the concern of Shemecha Tebag Chalim. If the material used for the fire is not wood, but something which catches fire very quickly and easily, the Rambam gives examples of reeds, tar, wax, and anything oily, then there is no concern that anyone would feel the need to stoke the coals, because the flame will spread anyway, and the bonfire may be lit just before the start of Shabbat. The entire concern of Shema Yichatebag Chalim does not exist in the Beit HaMikdash, for a similar reason to what we said about roasting the Korban Pesach in an oven. The Kohanim are assumed to be Zrizim, punctilious about mitzvot, and therefore will not come in any event to stoke the coals. Therefore, in the Beit HaMoked, where the Kohanim sleep at night, the bonfire set up for warmth may be lit just before Shabbat, even if most of the wood does not catch fire before Shabbat begins. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.